In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Pastor Raymond Brava of Trinity Lutheran Church in Howells, Nebraska, and Zion Lutheran Church in Lee, Nebraska. Welcome back to Pastor's Podcast. Welcome back to our Sunday morning sermon. The sermon for today, for the Transfiguration of our Lord, is entitled Rise and Have No Fear. It is based on our intro from Psalm 84, our Old Testament from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 14, our epistle from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21, our Holy Gospel reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 9. God's richest blessings to you as you listen to the sermon. The text that serves as the foundation for our sermon for today is our Gospel reading from St. Matthew's Gospel, especially these verses 7 and 8. Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I don't know about you, but when I look at everything that is going on in the world and in my life, there is much that could make me afraid. On a world level, everything seems to be going wrong. On a personal level, there's physical, financial, spiritual, mental health struggles of family, friends, that all of that bottles up and it causes me to worry. And I'm sure that as you look at yourself and your family, you might be feeling the same way. You might feel that fear, that overwhelms. Fear can be overwhelming. It can cause us to want to shut down, to just want to try to escape from everything. In our gospel reading for today, Peter, James, and John experience great fear, for they realize that they are sinners in the presence of the perfect God. Yet through that, they and we are called to look to Jesus, for he calms our fears. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, on the mountain, you proclaimed Jesus as your beloved Son, with whom you are well pleased, commanding that we listen to him. On another mountain, you forsook your Son as he suffered and died for our sins on the cross, so that we might be reconciled to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, that we may always listen to the voice of your Son and the word read and proclaimed, that we may have no fear, but always faithfully trust in you. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Peter, James, and John, they were part of Jesus' disciples, 3 out of the 12. And they were the closest of Jesus' disciples, kind of his inner sanctum of disciples. They were the first 3 disciples called to leave their boats and become fishers of men. And oftentimes throughout the Gospels, we see that these 3 get specifically chosen, specifically set apart to be of in a kind of special inner sanctum. It's Peter who professes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Later on, it's Peter and James and John who would be chosen of the 3 to go a little bit further into the garden with Jesus to pray with him, although they'd fall asleep. It's Peter and John who run to the tomb early on Easter morning. It's Peter and John who are together and proclaiming the gospel when they get arrested in the book of Acts. James is the first of the martyrs, the first of the disciples to be martyred, I should say, for the faith, killed for the faith.
These three were special. They knew Jesus and knew him very well. And so it's not surprising. Jesus calls these three to go up the mountain with him. Yet what happens when they get to the top of the mountain? They see Jesus transfigured, bright, blinding white, talking with Moses and Elijah. They hear the voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And what do? They fall on their faces in fear. Why? Because they realize the truth that they are sinners. Sinners who are standing in the presence of the Holy God. It's the same reaction that Moses had in our Old Testament reading. Moses sees the burning bush, and then he hears God speaking to him out of the bush, and Moses falls on his face in fear because he realizes that he is in the presence of God. It's the response that you and I had just a few minutes ago. As right here, we began the service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, God coming to us. And what do? I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities. We realize that we're sinners. We realize that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and the sinful can't exist in the presence of the holy. When the sinner is in the presence of the holy God, the sinner is either got to be cleansed or is going to die. Our reaction is like that of Elijah when he's called in Isaiah chapter 6. He says, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." When we look at our sin, when we look at our sinful nature, it can cause us to fear. How could God possibly love me? How could God possibly care about me? He knows how big of a sinner I am. He knows all the wrong things that I do. He knows how I constantly break his commandments, how I don't fear, love, and trust in him above all things as I should. God, he has to be angry. He's got to want to smite me. It's a natural reaction. And it's the right reaction based on our sins. Except the problem is that voice gets magnified because the devil, the world, and our sinful natures don't want us to be in the presence of the holy. The devil, the world, and our sinful natures want us to fear. They want us to be anxious. They want us to despair, to try to flee as far away from God as possible. Because they know that when we are in the darkness, when we feel completely cut off from God, that is when the devil, the world, and our sinful natures have the most control over us. When we fear God and his wrath and his punishment, when we try to flee from that wrath and that punishment, that's when Satan has the most power. And left on our own, left in the darkness, all that there is fear and despair. But God doesn't leave us in our fear and in our despair. God does not leave us with our heads cast down, fearing his wrath, fearing his punishment. Instead, Christ comes to us and he lifts up our heads and he says, "Rise, have no fear." He comes to us and calls us to look up to him. And fear not. He calls us to look up to him, suffering on the cross. Where there at the cross, Christ was lifted up. Where there on the cross, Christ took on himself all of the sin, all of the darkness, everything that separates us from God. The true Son of God, who was with God from the beginning, through whom everything was made, God of God and light of light, became man. That light stepped into the darkness of this world so that he could save us from the darkness of this world, from our fears, from our anxieties. The Word became flesh. He lived the perfect life that you and I cannot live. And then he took upon himself all of the darkness caused by sin, death, and the devil. He took upon all of himself, all of your sin, all of your unrighteousness, everything that makes you unclean, unworthy to stand before God. He took that upon himself and bore that darkness on the cross. There on the cross, there was great darkness. The sun did not shine, Scripture says, for the 3 hours that Christ was nailed to the cross. There on the cross, Christ faced great spiritual darkness as he was cut off completely from his Father, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And this he did for you. This he did so he could forgive you. So that just as earlier when God came to us and we confessed our sins, he comes to us and says, "Rise, have no fear. I absolve you. Your sin is forgiven because of who I am and what I have done for you at the cross." That's how great God's love is for you. He raises you out of your sin and death and despair, calls you to look to him. Calls you to look to him in the Word, read and proclaimed here every Sunday. Calls you to look to him in the sacraments that are given you here, through water, through absolution, through the bread and wine. Looking to him for the certainty and the peace which we so desperately need. Calling you to look to him every day as you study God's word in your home so that you may be certain, confident every day of that peace and forgiveness that is yours. Wouldn't it be great if we could just stay here, stay in this sanctuary, this place of rest, apart from the fears and the anxieties and the stress of the outside world? But that's not what God calls us to do. God calls us to come down from the mountain, to valley in to the plain. But he goes with us. Just as we begin the service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, just as we receive his peace here, so likewise we end the service with the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And if you look up that passage in the Bible, in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, the next words are, "Thus you shall put my name upon my people." As God's chosen people, made so through the waters of holy baptism, you leave with God's name upon you. You leave with God by your side. He goes with you. As the great Reformation hymn says, he's by our side upon the plain with his good gifts and spirit. He goes forth with you, defending you from the attacks of Satan, from the fear, the anxiety, everything that would cause you to despair, the darkness. He defends you. And then, knowing that because we're sinners, we'll end up paying attention to that fear and despair, he brings you back next week to receive these gifts yet again, every week, week after week. But what's our job while we're in the plane? What's our job when we depart from here? Are we commanded, as the disciples were, to not tell anyone? No. That command was, don't tell anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Easter has happened. Now it is our job, as we go forth from here, to proclaim the goodness of our Lord to everyone we come across in word and action, so that all may have that same certainty and confidence that we have, that same peace that we have. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, rise and have no fear. What a beautiful command Jesus gives. Peter, James, and John could have no fear because Jesus went with them from the mountaintop to the plain. And guess what? He does the same for you and for me. He goes with us and faces the chaos of the world, the personal, financial, mental, and spiritual health issues that we and our families face. Why? Because he has already won the victory over all these things at the cross, where he suffered and died for you and me. So rise and have no fear. Jesus, whom the entirety of the Old Testament foretold, whom the entirety of the New Testament proclaims, he is with you today and every day. He is with you through the darkness, through the fear, through the despair. He is with you through all of this and promises that he will bring you safely through it, until at last he gives us the ultimate victory, eternal life with him. Until then, rise, have no fear, but have the peace that only the Prince of Peace can give. He is with you every step of the way. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
This has been Pastor Raymond DeBrava of Trinity Lutheran Church in Howells, Nebraska, and Zion Lutheran Church in Lee, Nebraska. If you are looking for a church home and are in the vicinity of Howells or Lee, Nebraska, we invite you to join us at Trinity in Howells at 8 a.m. or at Zion in Lee at 10:30 a.m. If you are not in the vicinity of our congregations and are looking for a church home, please check out locator.lcms.org/church. Again, that is locator.lcms.org/church. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.